Thank you for tuning in with us at Bayou City Fellowship Spring Branch, a community that is radically focused on Jesus. It's Resurrection Sunday. The sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus give cause to both mourn and give thanks. Despised and rejected, he bore the punishment that each of us earned. By him, we are justified, and to him, we give thanks.
He is risen. Life is worth the living just because he lives. Amen. It is so good to worship together this morning on Resurrection Sunday. Worship the risen Lord, and thank you so very much for joining us. If you happen to be a first-time visitor or perhaps a guest of somebody who attends here, we extend to you a very hearty welcome. My name is A.K. Kurubula. I'm the interim campus pastor here at Bayou City Fellowship Spring Branch. Hector can do anything. He's a handyman that can fix your AC. He can do flooring. He can do sheetrock. He can do basic plumbing and a host of other things. Last summer, I had to call him. Our AC was not cooling too well. So as he came in through the front door, he caught something about the tile floor right in front of him. He said, "Hey, there is a hairline crack running through here." And he said, "Have you not seen it?" I said, "No. Typically, when I look down, I'm thinking about something." You know, some of these details tend to escape me, unfortunately. You know, some of us have some weaknesses. So anyway, he said, "But I'll tell you what. You know, there is a closet, and then there is some pantry area. If you go beyond that, you probably will find an extension of this crack all the way through." And surely enough, he took me there and he showed me. And for those of us who have lived here in Houston, we know about foundations and how they manifest themselves in the flooring, in the walls, and so on. He said it's a foundation problem. You know, when your foundation is not firm, when you don't have a firm foundation, well planted in good soil or good ground, it shows up somehow in the structures above. You know, the resurrection of Jesus that we celebrate today is the foundation of our Christian faith. If that is not the firm foundation of our faith, if that is not the firm foundation of our life, you can be sure that our life will develop all kinds of cracks. In fact, the late Tim Keller put it this way. He said, "If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether you like his teaching, but whether he rose from the dead." You see, the issue on which everything hangs is not whether you like his teaching, but whether he rose from the dead. And that has implications for us in all of life. If he did rise from the dead, as he foretold, and as the scriptures attest to, then we have to pay attention. We have no choice but to pay attention to what he has to say. Now, if he did not rise from the dead, everything we say and do as followers of Jesus does not make any sense. His resurrection is foundational to what we believe and how we live. The scriptures tell us, as it's familiar to you, that Jesus suffered the most brutal, painful, disgraceful death on the cross. He was tortured. He was crucified between two convicted criminals. The scriptures tell us that he was buried in a tomb in the garden near the site of the crucifixion. The scriptures also tell us that his body was wrapped in about 100 pounds of spices, wrapped in linen strips and placed in the tomb. And a huge stone was used to seal the entrance of the tomb. And on the third day, when they came to the tomb, they found that the stone was rolled away and the tomb was empty. The scriptures tell us that he had risen from the dead. Now, is that really reasonable? Now, let's think through that a little bit. What could possibly have happened to Jesus' body? One possibility is that the disciples, they stole the body. Now, if they did, they went about preaching that Jesus rose from the dead for so many years after the event. They were beaten, tortured, stoned, imprisoned, exiled, and some even suffered death. If they stole the body, they died for what they knew to be a lie. That's highly unlikely for such a long period of time. If the disciples could not have stolen the body, maybe the religious leaders did. Well, that is highly unlikely because they would have produced the body to prove that what the disciples claimed and preached was really false. If the disciples could not have stolen the body, and the religious leaders could not have stolen the body, maybe Jesus did not really die. Maybe he just recuperated in the tomb, in the cool tomb, and walked out of the tomb. Well, the scriptures tell us that he indeed died after being tortured and crucified. He was then wrapped in about 100 pounds of spices and linen strips. He could not have rolled that stone or recovered to walk away after 3 days from when he was crucified. Well, if that's the case, the only other possibility is what the scriptures claim, which is that he indeed miraculously rose from the dead. Now, what are the implications if it is true? And what are the implications if it is not true? That's what we're going to find out as we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 12 through 20. 1 Corinthians 15, 12 through 20. Here's the context. Paul has just told the Corinthian church that he just passed on what he had heard. The good news that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and raised from the dead on the third day, just as the scriptures said. He was seen by Peter, and then he was seen by about 500 of his followers, some of whom were even living at the point of time when this was written. Verse 12. But tell me this, since we preach that Christ rose from the dead, why are some of you saying there will be no resurrection of the dead? For if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised either. That's pretty straightforward. If there is no such thing as resurrection of the dead, Christ could not have been raised from the dead. That's pretty clear. Verse 14. And if Christ has not been raised, then all our preaching is useless and your faith is useless. In other words, if Christ has not been raised, our preaching can produce nothing useful or good. And our faith is of absolutely no value. All our preaching and all of our faith is dependent on this one fact of the resurrection of Christ. We would be wasting our time because our life will be based on a lie if Jesus had not risen from the dead. Now, you can view it another way. Turn it on its head and state it positively. That would be like saying this. Since Christ has been raised, our preaching is useful and your faith is useful. Now, you might ask, how so? Well, what we can do is build a life on that which is true. Since Christ has been raised, our longing for truth can be satisfied. You know, when it comes to matters of the faith, what we believe, we long for what is true. We want to know that which is true because we want to hang our faith there. We want to believe. We want to act on it. Can I trust the preacher? Can I trust the scriptures? Does it make sense? We may have had a bad experience in church. The church is full of hypocrites. Does it affect our faith? Should it affect our faith? A friend of mine told me not too long ago that, you know, he was close to his grandfather. So he prayed a lot, but his grandfather passed away. He said he was so disappointed by God, he distanced himself from church and matters of the faith. Since Christ was raised from the dead, we know for sure he was who he said he was. God himself stepping down into our space-time universe, bearing the punishment for our sin, so that we, you and I, can be reconciled to God. The scriptures tell us that since Christ is risen from the dead, this, God's word, is reliable. And when we build on the foundation of God's word and live in the light of it, it produces something good. It is useful. What else do we see? Verses 15 and 16. And we apostles would all be lying about God, for we have said that God raised Christ from the grave. But that cannot be true if there is no resurrection of the dead. And if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ has not been raised. In other words, if Jesus was not raised from the dead, the apostles would be liars and would be misrepresenting God. We couldn't know God accurately. Or stated positively, since Christ has been raised from the dead, the apostles are representing God accurately. We know what God is really like because Christ has been raised from the dead. We can believe what the apostles are saying because Christ has been raised from the dead. You know, if God exists, you and I want to know what God is like. If he's the one who created us, if he's the Lord of all, if he's the one who sustains us, if he's the one who gives breath in our lungs, and if he's sovereign over all of his creation and sovereign over our lives, we would really want to know him. And our longing to know God is satisfied because we can trust the scriptures. Why? Because Jesus rose from the dead indeed. If he didn't, none of this would make any sense. Not only that, verse 17, and if Christ has not been raised, then your faith is useless and you are still guilty of your sins. In other words, if Christ was not raised from the dead, we remain guilty of our sins. Or stated positively, since Christ has been raised, we can live free of guilt. We can live a forgiven life. Now, we might be tempted to say, well, I have a pretty clean life. I'm not into that kind of evil or anything. I fall short a little here, fall short a little there. But otherwise, I'm pretty good. I'm not that sinful. Let's think about this. You know, typically, the seriousness of any offense depends on the person being offended. Let's say you take a piece of paper, crush it, make a ball, and then toss it at me. I might duck and dive and avoid it. But think for a moment. If the person on the podium is the governor of the state of Texas, it takes on a different meaning. Let's stretch it further. If it's the president of the United States, it takes on an entire different meaning. A small and seemingly harmless act can be a major offense depending on who it is that is being offended. So what if something that we do, some little disobedience here and there, is not that big of an offense, but it is against the God, the sovereign of the universe, is the one we are offending. You know, the scriptures say that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. which is eternal separation from God. Since Jesus was raised from the dead, he proved himself to be God, who came down as man, lived a sinless life, suffered an agonizing death, which was sufficient to bear the punishment for my sin on my behalf. I can have forgiveness for my sins and live a life free of guilt, a forgiven life. And my longing for forgiveness and acceptance is satisfied. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we can trust the scriptures. We can know what is true. We can know what God is really like. And we can live a life free of guilt, a forgiven life. Verse 18. In that case, all who have died believing in Christ are lost. In other words, if Christ has not been raised, those who believed in Christ and died, they have just perished. Or stated differently, since Christ has been raised from the dead, we can live forever with him. We can enjoy a never-ending life. You know, this is one of our deepest longings, to live long lives, to live forever. God makes it possible for us if we will only trust him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting or eternal life. Since Jesus was raised from the dead, he proved himself to be who he claimed he was, the Son of God, so that believing in him, you and I can have eternal life. And finally, verses 19 and 20. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. You see, Jesus was not the only one to rise up from the dead. The scriptures say Lazarus did and Dorcas did. But Jesus was the only one, the first, to rise up from the dead, never to die again. We who trust him live according to what Jesus taught us, forgiving one another, bearing with one another, bearing one another's burdens, striving to live in peace with one another, suffering for doing that which is right. Now, all of this does not make any sense if Jesus was not raised from the dead. Because if that were the case, we should be pitied for living such pathetic lives. Or stated positively, since Christ has been raised from the dead, following him and choosing to live the way he modeled and instructed does not have to be pitied. It makes good, godly sense. So we can live confidently following him. We long to live meaningful lives. We want lives that are significant, that are meaningful. If we choose to follow Christ, we don't have hope beyond this life, that's going to be a sad way to live. Following Christ will involve suffering. He told us that. And all of that suffering and difficulties are infused with meaning and purpose because Christ rose from the dead. Our longing for a meaningful life is satisfied. So, in summary, here's what we see. Since Christ has been raised from the dead, he proved who he said he was. Therefore, we can trust what he said, and we can trust the scriptures. We can build a life on truth. Truth we can trust on, truth that we can depend on. We can live a faith-filled life build a life on truth. In fact, Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We can know what God is really like. Jesus said, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. We can live life free of guilt. We can live a forgiven life. The scriptures tell us in him, that is in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. He gives us what we don't deserve. We can live free of guilt. We can live with him forever. We can live a never-ending life. Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. He does not come into judgment, but has passed from death to life. We can live confidently. We can live meaningfully. We can live an abundant life. Why? Jesus said, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. All because he's risen. And that is what we celebrate today. Josh McDowell, in his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, says this about the uniqueness of Jesus. He says, all but four of the major world religions are based on mere philosophical propositions, most of them, but four that are based on personalities rather than philosophies. And among those four, only Christianity claims an empty tomb for its founder. In 1900 BC, Judaism's father Abraham died. In 483 BC, the Buddhist writings say that Gautama Buddha died with that utter passing away in which nothing whatever remains behind. And on June 6, 632 AD, Muhammad died. And in 33 AD, Jesus died, but came back to life, appearing to 500 people over a period of 40 days. There is only one who invited us to worship him and follow him, because he is God himself, and his name is Jesus. So here is the question that each of us has to answer. He is risen. Are you living on this firm foundation? If the answer is yes, may I encourage you to press on and follow Jesus in joyful, humble, grateful obedience. If for nothing, out of gratitude for his enormous gift to you and me. Now, if your answer is no, or maybe, may I encourage you to consider the claims of Christ. If Jesus is who he said he was, God himself, the only thing that really matters is what he has to say. If Jesus is who he said he was, that is God himself, the only thing that really matters is his point of view on anything and everything. God became man in Christ Jesus, lived a sinless life, loved us so much to stretch out his hands and die for us. He paid the price of sin that we should have paid, so that you and I can be reconciled to God. Now that is the good news, that you and I can live a forgiven life, that you and I can live an abundant life, that you and I can live a never-ending life. Trust him to experience these blessings. He is inviting us to come to him. Now, for all of us who trust him, may I invite you to stand as we say together the Apostles' Creed, which you'll find on the screen. You know, a creed is not scripture. A creed just encapsulates what we believe. And this creed was compiled in the 7th or 8th century. So let us recite it together. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we sing our closing hymn, I want to invite the prayer team to come forward. As they take their places on either side of the podium, may I invite you to come pray. Perhaps there is something that's of a burden on your heart. Maybe it's a decision that you need to make. Maybe it is something that you'd like to praise God for, along with brothers and sisters in this community of faith. Whatever that might be, bring your prayers to Him. Come forward to pray, because God hears prayer and He does answer prayer.
Thank you for listening to today's message. We hope that you feel encouraged. To stay up to date on our current sermon series, you can subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. If you'd like to find more ways to get involved with the Bayou City family, visit us online at bayoucityfellowship.com or download the Bayou City Fellowship Spring Branch app to find community in the body of Christ.